Okay. Whilst we are waiting for the document on funding of the ANC on Section 7, you look public on our report. Okay. We have in front of us the key findings from the Democratic Alliance. Can you go through them? The first one is the committee has noted complaints about civil aviation, with some senior highly qualified staff leaving CA, especially in this AD division. The increased administrative burden regarding the certification of aircraft and hard inspection fees, together with the number of runway incursions of it, on the increase, especially in housing. Could you take us through that?
Chairperson, my colleague Greg knows more about this, but I just want to say I typed this late at night, so if you found some mistake, grammar, and it's written badly or whatever, I'm very happy for somebody to rewrite it. So apologies if I've written it a little badly. It was very rough. I had to do it after a full day conference. But I think my colleague should perhaps comment on civil aviation because he knows more about it than I do.
Thanks, Chair. The highly qualified staff or highly qualified staff in the Civil Aviation Authority, a number of them had left. If you look at the Civil Aviation Authority's annual report, you'll see that the biggest gaps percentage-wise are in the air safety, aircraft safety, and the air maintenance units. So where we desperately need the expertise in terms of keeping our aircraft safe, that is where the biggest vacancies are. Up until recently, there were only two people qualified to operate one of the key machines which was used to test aircraft, which meant that if one was on leave and the other one got sick, we had no one qualified in the country to do that. That has now been rectified in the sense that they're training more people, but the fact remains that the Civil Aviation Authority has been gutted by the resignation, retirement, and other reasons. In the senior staff level, particularly in safety divisions. I did put a question to the Minister about this. I have a very full answer, and it is quite clear that the numbers are not what we as a committee would like to see. So that's the first point. The burden with request to certification of aircraft, what we're talking about here is Certificate of Airworthiness, so-called COA, which is certificate which must be obtained for aircraft of a certain type and size. The Minister and the DG have issued contradictory signals on this. In answer to a question I posed, the Minister said only 42% of aircraft in this country do have a valid airworthiness certificate, and only aircraft with the airworthiness certificate are legally allowed to fly. That was in her media statement as well. Subsequently to that, the DG contradicted her and said that, in fact, the remainder of the aircraft have got ATS authority to fly, which is for your smaller type aircraft which don't require a big certificate of airworthiness. But in the question, the Minister clearly stated that the ATS is, or implied, I should say, that the ATS is actually a restricted certificate of airworthiness. So it's not clear to anyone at the moment just how many aircraft we have that are not legally allowed to fly. What is clear is that the registers are in a mess. The database has been either corrupted or lost. There's a lot of information missing. The annual inspection fees are being used to regenerate the details. There's a lot of people who have been deceased who are not paying their aircraft overseas, and the industry as such, aviation industry, particularly aircraft owners and pilots association, have made numerous complaints about the state of the register. So we don't really know at this stage just how many aircraft we have and how many can fly. In fact, there's a massive discrepancy if you compare the Minister's statement to the DG's explanation. So that's the second one. The runway incursions, we have a fairly major problem at Fort Worth Airport. Runway incursions hardly ever happen at our Tambo, the big international airports. But in Fort Worth, I think like 28 in the last year, something like that. And about half of at Rand Airport, as I recall. Certainly, one of them is a big problem. And what's happened there is that ATNS, their traffic navigation services, have had to double up on their staff so that one person can watch while another person looks at the monitor and stuff like that. So we do have a few challenges that need to be addressed. And in Gauteng it is particularly acute because it's the one province with the most congested airspace, and therefore you would not want to see aircraft or runway incursions anywhere, but certainly not in Gauteng. So that's the explanation to point A, which I think we need to take note of. And I also believe on this point, Chairperson, that we need to get the Civil Aviation Authority in here. There's a lot of questions that need to be asked about these things. For now, I just think we need to note these particular concerns in our report.
I think that we will need to paraphrase the sentence, because we are reporting of something that we have not already engaged both the minister and the department as the portfolio committee. One of our members has asked a question, which is on the report on pro, and the minister responded to it, as well as what Honorable Group said about the teaching. But the fact of the matter is that at the committee level, we have not engaged on this issue.
Chairperson, you remember you called a special committee where we did invite some people, and they came and made presentations, and we are still ongoing with that issue. I think it's a follow-up. So perhaps we can change the wording to say something like, we have received concerns, but then we don't say what we're going to do or what anybody must do, because it's still not... It's not decided what to do. These are just, we note that there's a concern, but we don't recommend anything because it's still ongoing. Anyway.
Thanks again, Chair. Maybe you could just assist me here. I mean, we would have submissions to our committee. We all present. One member might ask a question. It doesn't come from the other members, but we all hear the answer. Is it not the same with questions to the minister? I mean, I had assumed that any question that gets put in and the reply is made public to all members of Parliament, not just to the individual who put the question. So I would have thought we'd be aware of the questions that have been raised and the answers.
No,
is that not so?
Can I clarify myself?
Yes, please.
I'm saying the committee itself has not engaged on this matter and come to a conclusion, which is what the finding would be. We are still processing. We had a meeting with the aviation people as a result of the proposal from Honorable Kronbrook. And Honorable Kronbrook asked a question to the minister. But the point that I am saying is that that is still a process. We have not arrived at a finding. Which is why I started by saying, we will need to paraphrase this. I'm not saying we should delete it, but let us not put it as a finding, because we have not arrived at that point. We can put it as something that we are noting, and we want to further engage the minister on it.
Thank you. I think I'm happy that you are concluding on this matter in that way. However, I wanted to just say that, just check as to the key findings that we're talking about here are not the key findings of the report that we're dealing with. So that if that is the case, then other things that are coming outside from the report may not be key findings, because we're dealing with the report. And therefore they need to be placed somewhere else. I don't know what kind of a heading are you going to have, because it cannot be a key finding. A key finding should be a finding out of the report. Otherwise, we're going to cloud and confuse ourselves in relation to what we're dealing with here. But I agree with you that issues that have not yet come to the committee, indeed, we cannot then make it a committee issue. Thank you.
A key finding would also be something that we have picked up through our oversight work, and come across that, we engage the department, and we put it here. But an issue that has been brought up to us, and then we are still dealing with it. It cannot be a finding because we have not concluded on that. But we can put it in the report because we have already started to talk about it and we have invited people. And we could either make a recommendation that the minister, the border department and ourselves will need to follow up on this issue because it is an issue that is there, but we have not arrived at a finding as to what are the problems and how those problems are going to be solved. So I think that this can move to the aviation, that section that we were working on, Honorable Olive. But what we were doing with Honorable Olive is that we took the submission from the GA and it's written program 1, 2, 3, 4 and we slotted all those points under those subheadings, which then means that even this one will have to move and fall under aviation. But we will also need to paraphrase.
That were refurbished and brought into the rolling stock, but it our report doesn't note that many were destroyed, and I think it's not a complaint, it's just a noting because it's something that I think Prathi in the long run should I don't know how to develop methods of preventing damage to the badges. I didn't put that in here because it was just a note, it wasn't a recommendation. But my point was just that we note that some are also being destroyed. If I'm correct, is it 549 approximately that were refurbished? It's a good number. But unfortunately, some are destroyed. So I was just trying to get also somewhere into the report. We note that there were also some destroyed. Without any blame or anything, I'm just saying we should note it because it will remind brother that one has to look into why so many are destroyed and if there are measures we can get in place. But I don't put that in long detail because it's not, I don't want to tell them how to do their job. I just want to note that so many were destroyed. It's in the thick PRASA annual report document. And I just wanted to note it here. Because we do say elsewhere in the report that we welcome the fact that 500 and something were built and brought onto service.
I think that to me this is an important point to make. It is not the responsibility of PRASA to protect public facilities. It is the community.
If I didn't put a recommendation, I just put the United issue.
Yes.
Anybody who
might have
to do their job.
Yes, we. In my view, we can put this as an issue, but it is an issue where communities fail to balance their rights and responsibilities. And it is an issue in South Africa because when a cable is stolen, and I remember that Prasa did explain that when a cable is stolen and there is a delay, then the commuters bend the train. And an investment has been made to upgrade the signaling system, which means from the side of PRASA, that issue is being corrected. But from the side of the community knows more of its rights and very little of its responsibilities. 300 coaches is hundreds of millions. So, because we are public representatives, We have to make this as an observation, but an observation that begins to point out to the public that does not value what is given to them and needs to then either have an awareness raising campaign where the community can balance rights with responsibilities, not only rights. So this one is not an observation. It is a key finding, because 300 coaches, we have a number. Okay. But we then need to paraphrase to say, because of that was sometimes the late arrivals of trains, which angers the commuters, but the government has also invested in that to upgrade the signaling system. However, there is a culture in South Africa where communities do not take ownership of community facilities, public facilities. And we need maybe to recommend that as part of awareness raising and community involvement awareness campaign, there has to be a focus on this to teach communities of their responsibilities. Again, it is a principle that is in the Makakane document. See, I think.
If you want me to motivate, we congratulated Sanrail on the very high quality of new roads that they built. I mean, I even did it myself in the meeting when we called Sanrail to bring their annual report. And I think they're doing a good job, but because we don't really have control over the provinces, we can't, you know, the spheres of government, we can't tell them what to do. But I just thought we should note that some of the provincial and rural roads are not well maintained. Sanrail roads are very well maintained, but you know, somewhere along the line, we as a committee, I think, have a right to just note that provinces must also pull up their socks. Sanrail is doing the job, but some provincial and rural roads are not the responsibility of Sanrail, they're the responsibility of provinces, and we can't take over that job of the provinces, but we can at least note that there's need for those roads to be maintained and upgraded and so on. Anyway, that was my thought.
No, Chairperson, C is good because of the difference between the national goods and the provincial goods. We must teach the provinces so that they must be part of us to upgrade these goods. I also think that this is a very important point. But we need to also open the sentence by saying that there are uneven levels of services. There are areas with adequate services that require maintenance, and areas with inadequate and poor services that need upgrading, and areas that have got no services at all. And what we then should be saying is that there has to be a balance in terms of resource allocation. Can't only focus either on provision and neglect maintenance, because that has resulted with many potholes at local government level in provincial roads. At the same level, you have to prioritize the upgrading of gravel roads to make roads usable in all weather conditions. And then you need also to, so the issue of rural roads, I think, has to also come up as a separate sentence when we take into consideration that there was a rural road transport plan that was approved but was not funded. approved by cabinet in 2008 has not yet been funded, which is why then you would find rural roads being neglected, especially access roads to public facilities. Did you get that? What we are noting that here is that there are uneven levels of development. There is an adequate road infrastructure that needs to be continuously maintained to prevent it from degrading. And there is a poor and inadequate road infrastructure that needs to be upgraded. And then there is rural roads that are very poor, and there is, especially because we also have undesignated roads that no one looks after, and those also need to be we are therefore saying that the deployment of financial resources to the infrastructure should take that into consideration to bear uneven levels of development.
Chairperson, this one might be a little bit controversial, I don't know, but during the course of our deliberations about Sandrail funding and about funding for provincial roads and about funding for tolls and so on, the President tabled his, and I hope I've got the name right, the review of the Presidential Review of State-Owned Enterprises. And in that Presidential Review document, it made lots of recommendations about road infrastructure and how to fund the road infrastructure. So what I'm suggesting here is that we noted so that the department investigates what the President's Committee was saying. You remember when the presidential budget, when the presidential State of the Nation, we had department look at the implications for transport. When we had the budget, then we look at the implications for transport. And now this presidential review of state-owned enterprises, we should look at the implications for transport. And, I mean, we can't do it now, the whole thing, but I was suggesting that we put a note in there to say that we note the presidential review for state-owned enterprises so that the department can compare with our current business plan so that next year, when we get the new business plan for the next coming financial year, they've read that document and incorporated the ideas. So what I'm saying is that we just note, because that presidential review document has not come to our committee specifically, because it's a document for state-owned enterprises. So I'm assuming that it's gone to Public Enterprises Committee. It has some suggestions for funding of roads, which we should at least take note of. You know, whether the department now changes or doesn't change is a matter for next year. So I'm just saying we should note the report of the Presidential Review Committee into state-owned enterprises because of what it will mean in years to come for transport. I'm not arguing about the contents of it. I'm just saying you should note it. There it is. There's a document that the department should read because it has implications for transport funding of future roads. Like the M2 toll it in the Wild Coast, it will have implications for how that road is developed, for example. And I am not expressing a view. I'm not saying, you know, one way or the other. I'm just saying you should raise the attention of the department to that report by the Presidential Review Committee.
It's not come to our committee, so you might think I've been controversial. I'm in your hands, but because it hasn't come yet. But I think it's hugely made valuable to the department.
The Department of Transport is part of the infrastructure. Presidential Infrastructure Commission, so they will be aware of this. I think that because we have not engaged with that, and we also have not seen what are the concrete proposals, we should, instead of saying that there is a need for a review of funding models for freeways, we should remind the department that there is this presidential report on state-owned enterprises, and they must then look at how it relates to the Department of Transport. Because if we are calling for a review,
Listen, I get what you're saying, and I then agree with you that we change the wording. We can say that the department should note this report, or that we should bring the report to our committee to read, or whatever. But I agree with you that we shouldn't call for a review until we've read the report, because that's putting a cart before the horse. I withdraw the wording. As I said, I was quite late at night, so I'm happy for you to change it.
And then, item number F.
Yeah, we did have SAMHSA quite recently, Chairperson. It was a couple of weeks ago when we met at the hotel up the road. And that obviously is, I think, a major concern because we've passed the new bills concerning oil pollution, but it doesn't really help passing what we don't have the infrastructure. So I think that is a very important thing to note in this, the RRR report.
Unless the ships have become available, to our knowledge, they are still not fully operational and deployed. There was a problem, as we know, we spoke about it earlier in the year. But to my knowledge, or to our knowledge, it's still not operational. So that's why we're noting it, because it's not fixed. We've spoken about it, but I'm not sure that those ships are yet deployed back on the sea.
I don't see anything wrong with that one. On G.
The last place comes out of our oversight visit, Jefferson. I was just so amazed. I've never been to Transnet Engineering before in my life. In fact, I hadn't been to Unicarriage either, even though I recommended we go there. And I think I was quite astounded, and I think many of us were, at the capacity. South Africa's got massive capacity to build trains and locomotives and carriages and wagons and all these kinds of things. And I think out of that oversight visit, we should just note that we saw those things. We saw that there's so much capacity that can be used. And there's talk about us building trains for Southern African countries as well. And so I think we should just note that the capacity is there, and we encourage both our own entities and those in public enterprises to use that, or to, you know, Chairperson, you always talk about government capacity and about South Africa's capacity and all that, and I think the capacity is there. It's a question of encouraging the use of that capacity to build. They did build some locomotives for Mozambique, for example. And we saw the China Rail locomotives being built as well. So, I mean, I'm just astounded at the fact that they're empty. Often, those workshops are empty. And there's lots of skills there, lots of people there that can be employed. And so I'm just trying to raise awareness, really, by putting it in the note. Awareness that there's a lot of capacity that can be used in the future.
I think that you are correct when you say the capacity is there. But also let us bear in mind that there has been a Kibela consortium that has been awarded to actually build locomotives.
I'm not talking about that.
I'm saying you are noting that there is capacity for building and maintenance of locomotives and rolling stock, which should be exploited to create job opportunities. I am saying that has got to be done.
My understanding, Jefferson, is that Pivella is going to build a whole new factory, which means these ones may stand empty. The ones that already exist, the Transnet Engineering, the Union Carriage and Wagon, and the seven. I don't know the names of all of them. What I'm saying is that we mustn't forget that there are other facilities already there which can be utilized for manufacture of rail stock and things.
That's why I can't get the meaning of this sentence, because there is Union Carriage and Wagon that has been given work, and it will continue to get work. There is Transnet that is also building. Okay. There is also the Kibela consortium, which means that we are already doing that.
Perhaps I should explain this a slightly different way. I agree with what your point said, that those things are there. What I'm saying is that the existing, perhaps the older ones, I should say, Transnet Engineering, Union Cash and those others, are being underutilized. They are being utilized, as you said, we saw trains coming out of there, but there was a lot of empty space where in years ago they used to make many trains. Now they're doing small quantities. So perhaps the department can try to encourage Southern African countries to place orders with South Africa and not China, so that we can utilize those that are already there. Kibela is already producing for us, as you know, that big oil. I'm just trying to encourage that we make more use of the existing ones that are already built, that they're already. You can change it. I'm not quite about it.
The point that I'm making is that a person who reads this sentence would think that there is capacity, but it is not utilized.
That's exactly the point I'm making. If you disagree with me, that's fine, but that is the point I'm making. I'm saying that it's not used at all, it's underutilized. In other words, it is being used, but small amounts of work are going through there. Whereas, so they've trained 2,000 welders. Did they tell us 2,000? Was that right? Or 1,200 welders, a big number of welders?
That's the other way to go to. because know what goes out of South Africa.
My point is that we should try to get more work from Zambia or Uganda or Angola or wherever, because they use the same gauge of railway line as us. So they can't buy trains from Europe because they have the wrong gauge. So we've got the capacity to supply other Southern African countries with extra rolling stock. But they are not placing orders.
Yeah, we are dealing with the financial resources given to PRASA.
Okay.
And what PRASA has been able to do with those financial resources that have been given to PRASA.
Yes.
And PRASA has given work to Transnet and Enterprise to refurbish the train. PRASA has given work to
all of us there, yeah.
And PRASA has given work to Bela Consortium.
Yeah.
And PRASA has made sure that even the wheel that was manufactured outside the country was then designed here now and is being manufactured here. So in terms of the money that PRASA has been given to carry out in relation with this, they have. And I'm not denying the fact that that capacity could help us expand our market and supply the African state. But when you read the sentence without mentioning what is already being done, it creates an impression that nothing is being done. Whereas...
That's one separate
number. Because, remember, Franca even exceeded the target of producing the coaches and are producing more.
Okay.
But also this should be going with the work that is being done to upgrade the railway infrastructure, because when you do that you will have more demand for producing and maintaining the locomotives.
Chairperson, I'm happy to withdraw that one. I'm not going to war over that one sentence. I'm happy to withdraw it. It's not a die in the ditch thing. So I mean we are buying new trains, and you'll see. I don't want to preempt it, but I've encouraged my party to actually support the budget vote. So you'll find that I'm in a positive mood about the department, not a negative one about the total budget. So I'm happy to withdraw that, because we're spending 123 billion on new trains. So I'm prepared to withdraw that one. You don't have to have it. Number G, if you want to take it out, we can take it out.
No, I'm not saying we should take this out. I am saying the last part of the sentence, which says South Africa for building and maintaining of locomotives and rolling stock, which should be exploited to create job opportunities, which has been exploited.
What I want to try and, I mean, let me just be frank and not try to go around and about. We are building 123 billion worth of new trains, and that's a good thing, and I support that completely. You'll see I will support the budget for that already publicly. I'm just worried that the existing facilities are getting slowly less and less work. I mean, we can explain it however we want to explain it, but that's my worry. My worry is that lots of trained people, lots of engineers, we're going to create new jobs with the Gibella new plant, but we have existing plants where they're not getting enough work. So, I mean, I don't want
to... The amount of work that would go would also be determined by the budget. So we cannot make that an issue as if somebody is saying close down. There's no one who is saying close down. We've been to those facilities. Yes, they are underperforming. That also goes with the skills level, because we went to Transnet Enterprise. And the quality of work doesn't match what we saw in the Union and Western countries. So, and the CEO of PRASA actually pointed that out, that in the process of building the capacity of state-owned enterprises, the Transnet Enterprise has to put pull up itself so that more work can also be given to them. So it is not an issue within Transport, the Department of Transport and Trust.
I'm in my hands on this one. I have no strong view.
Yes. The point that I'm making here is that on our budget, there is an expectation for job creation.
Yes.
And that job creation is being done. Jobs are being created because of the order that is being done by the union current and work on, the work that is being done by Transnet Enterprise, and the work that is going to be done by the Kivela Consortium. So we are responding to the issue of job creation. However, we have more potential to increase that.
We agree on the fact. Is that the wording you would you can tell us how you want to
do it? I think that we should be appreciative of the fact that that is happening, which is creating jobs and has the potential of creating more jobs.
We agree.
Then we move to section 8. Again, this one under section 8, the first one in my view. Fall out because that is where that is what it is currently being done.
Chairperson, the view of my party on this one, and not just me as an individual, is that work is being done. We saw the 549, but because we lost 300, the net, the effect is you've kept the 300 from the 549. Can somebody help me with the actual number? I think it's 549 refurbished. You're left with only 249.
But you are building new.
Well, not yet. Only in 3 years' time will we get the new.
Yes, but where are you going to get the money to actually increase those, because you are actually investing more on the new rolling stock? Yes, you have refurbished the ones that are there. And then you are building, and you are saying the first train will come out in 2050.
Well, I'm saying that you can economize on some things to save money and put more money into trains. Every company, every state-owned entity can economize. You know, that's what accounting is. You save on...
Let us not look only at natural rail.
Yes.
The CEO of PRASA says, the reason we are in on metro rail is because we were asked to take Shosholozame without funding. So they are already in this spread. And they are saying to us, we must take that into consideration and put that as a recommendation that they should be funded for the Shosholozame.
I agree with the ANC caucus item that says they must be funding for Shosholozame. I agree with that. So what I'm saying is, in addition to that, there should be an increase in maintenance on metro rail trains and so on, so that the number of metro rail trains that are running every day, for example in Gauteng, are increased. There are some old metro rail coaches that can be refurbished. There are some less old ones that it's just small problems of maintenance that need to be fixed to keep the running. I'm just talking about that in addition. I agree with the ANC that there should be funding for Shosholozame, otherwise it's going to collapse. I agree with that. I'm saying in addition, there should be more effort and to refurbish and maintain more coaches than currently. Or you've got to stop losing. I mean, we didn't only lose in the fires and that, we lost also in crashes. There was several train crashes in the last year, and we lost coaches. So we lost from crashes, we lost from fires, we lost from other things. And there's rolling stock that is here and there not being utilized because it's old and it needs maintenance. The total number of trains on the Gauteng metro rail system is reducing every year. That's the problem. So even though we refurbish 500 and something, we lose 300. So the net effect is we only refurbished really 149, or 200, whatever math is, 249, because we lost so many. So the total number of trains running on Metro Rail is getting less every year, even though we're putting so much effort into maintenance and upgrades. I'm saying we should put even more money and effort and time into maintaining Metro Rail trains until we get all the new ones. Because, as you know, Chairperson, we're going to get the new ones a few every year for 20 years. So I'm actually appealing for more funding and more maintenance, not less.
I would have been more comfortable if, when engaging with FASA, we raised it and then they said yes. Because we may be saying something that they are actually not prioritizing, because we don't even know how many trains are supposed to be running and how many are running. We are only using the information that there are 300 that were destroyed and then. But we have not done the analysis and checked with them as to whether that has affected the transporting people through Metro Rail or not. And once we recommend something and it goes to Parliament, it becomes something that has to be implemented.
Chair,
I fail to understand, I don't know. I just can't be. But if you people are saying they have asked for more money from Metro Rail, or more funding, and at the same time, they are asking for, they have nothing. And at the same time, we say they must increase and maintain. Where is that one going to come from? The funds to increase and the funds to maintain.
We are saying to the department in writing, it was proposed by the ANC and I support it, that there should be funding for social laws and mail.
Mm-hmm.
If that money comes, then the money that's currently been spent on keeping social laws and mail going can be spent on refurbishing more coaches for Metro Rail. Is that simple?
All that I'm saying is that we have engaged the past on the issues. The ill of the 300 coaches that were damaged comes from them. And the issue of the target that was set to refurbish the train was 480, and they were able to produce 570 something. Means that there is more that was done. And in all their presentation, they did not ask for more money to improve Metro Rail train to refurbish. It is not. They asked for social order because they are actually using their funds to fund social order, which is a low descent if it's needed. And we also have not engaged them to find out as whether the 300 have had an impact in terms of transporting the commuters. That has not come out from them. And I am saying, if we put it as a recommendation, which is not what they are prioritizing, and they have not put it as a problem, it will then become implementable because it is in our report. Yet, we have not interrogated it to that level to say, tell us, what is the negative impact of the 300 coaches and still able to transport people? And if they were saying to us, yes, it has caused a challenge. We are utilizing the buses that were purchased for 2010. It means that they have been able to respond to the problem. Or if they are saying, no, we have reduced the number of trains. And we had a 6 o'clock train, we no longer have a 6 o'clock train, we have a 7 o'clock train. Then it would tell us that those 300 coaches that were distressed are actually having a negative impact in terms of transporting. But we can't say, because this was broken, we then need to replace it, even if there has been an intervention that takes care of that particular thing. I'm saying that because we are utilizing the same test to produce new trains. If then we are talking about a budget that 2014 and 2015, we are saying they must refurbish when we know that there is a new train coming out in 2015.
Chairperson, there are two points that I need to make. The first one is that PRAS have told us clearly in more than one presentation that they are short of trains. There's no debate about whether or not they've got enough trains. They've told us that they're short of trains, and when they order the replacement trains, they are ordering more than what they have by 20% because they're short. And what happens, CEO kept telling us, is that he can't provide a good service because the trains keep breaking down, they're very old, and that he's short. He needs extra trains in certain routes. He just doesn't have enough rolling stock. And when he refurbishes one, he has to take it off the line because there's no spare trains. So the shortage of trains is common cause. Nobody disputes that fact. And the second one is, we are not accepting the status quo as a committee. We're not saying everything's wonderful. We are making recommendations. The first recommendation that has come from the ANZ caucus, which we support, is to say there needs to be more money allocated by Treasury to Joshua Laws and Mail. But today, right now today, they are spending money on Joshua Laws and Mail, 540 million. That's how much comes out of the PRAS's current budget to fund Joshua Laws and Mail, to make it work. That money will become available if Treasury gives funding for Joshua Laws and Mail, because it's taken from somewhere else. I'm saying that somewhere else that it's taken from is the money that could be used to refurbish even more rolling stock, because the CEO said to us that he's short. He told us that he's short.
I'm not denying the fact that it's short, but I'm saying there are interventions already to address that shortage. One of the interventions is the refurbishment of coaches that is taking place as we speak, and that has taken place, producing 573. The intervention also is through the manufacturing of new trains. That is another intervention. And the CEO is saying, Treasury is putting us on the red when we are expected to run Shosholoza without any funding. And we support them in that. The question that I'm having is that the issue of refurbishment has been taken care of. It is happening as we speak. And it has produced results. And another intervention is the production of the new trains. And this recommendation to me then falls out because it deals with something that is already being done.
Chairperson, if that is the view of the majority of the committee, then of course you must do that. But it is our view that there's currently not enough, even though 573 were done, because you've lost 300. The total is our view. I'm not asking you to say it's your view. It's our view that the number of rolling stock coaches available in Gauteng that are in working order is getting less every year. And we want to make a point about that. The fact that it is, you don't have to agree, I'm not saying you must agree, I'm saying it is our view that the number is shrinking. And when the number shrinks, the trains get fuller and fuller, and even more trains will be built because people are angry and they get late for work and all that. So I'm saying it is our view that because we're losing 300 and we're refurbishing 573, the net effect is not enough new refurbished of the old trains coming on. 2 years before we get the new ones, and we are going to get 20 new ones a year, so it's going to, for 10 years, still be short.
Honorable Olin, I agree with you in terms of 300. I also agree with you in terms of shortage. I do not agree with you in terms of saying there must be minister and DOT in cooperation with PRASA to improve the number of units of rolling stock in service with Metrorail to improve the commuter services. I'm saying that is currently being done. You recommend something to be done if it is not being done. It is being done in two folds. Refurbishment of the old rolling stock, which is currently happening. Building of the new trains, where we are assured that by 2015 the sector will start to push. Now, the question that I'm asking is, if we are then saying there should be refurbishment, are we saying there is no refurbishment? Because they have not said we have refurbished, finished, class, we are done. It is an ongoing process. Where then does the gap exist? Because it is in their report, we have 300 spent. We had a target of refurbishing 430. We have refurbished 573. And we continue to refurbish. If it is put like this, any person who reads it would think that this minister, together with PRASA, have neglected the issue of the rolling stock in Metro Rail, which is not the case.
Can I then put an alternative? Can I then suggest you take that Section 8A that I proposed out and you replace it with a line that just says the DA, not this committee, the DA is concerned that the number of rolling stock available to Metro Rail for the next 2 or 3 years is not going to be sufficient. Then I don't talk to the minister, I don't tell anybody what to do, but I want it on the record that we are concerned that the rolling stock is still going to not be enough for Metro Rail. And I'm happy if you want to say only the DA says this. If in the report it's fine to do that, I'm not going to force the committee to say something they don't agree with.
This is the report of the committee. We must find each other. This is the report of the committee. Convince us to say, at the speed at which refurbishment is taking place, we are not going to meet the target. Convince us. Because I have faith to convince you. The target was 430, 573 has been produced. Meaning that we are producing more than we are expected to.
I understand. The point that I'm making is that the CEO has told us on every year that he's come to this committee that he can't produce a safe, reliable transport on Metro Rail because he doesn't have rolling stock that is sufficient for the needs. I'm saying that he has also told us that they're going to bring in 200 coaches from Brazil, about, plus I may have done it wrong, because there's still not going to be enough of everything that they're currently doing. So he's telling us that everything is still not enough. But you've still got to carry on running the old trains for about 8 years till there's enough of the new trains to take over. If we are losing 300 coaches a year, 2 or 3 years ago they weren't even refurbishing 300 a year. It's only in the last 2 or 3 years that they've ramped up the refurbishment. So we're losing more coaches per year now than we were refurbishing in the early 2000s and in the late 90s, which means it has got behind. The numbers show you that it's got behind. And we're losing so many that the situation is getting worse. Even though they've exceeded their target for this year, it's still, if you get on a train on a Naledi line, Gauteng, people are pushing each other onto railway lines because there is not enough space on those trains. It is just a crisis. So I'm saying even the good work that they are doing is not enough. The number of rolling stock on the Gautrain routes is shrinking. Every year there are less coaches in total than there were the year before. because the need is bigger than the what we're able to deliver. That's my view. I mean, you may not agree with me. I have spoken to people on the ground. I've talked to the CEO. We've had the reports here where he says he doesn't have the rolling stock enough to do the job. And it's getting worse.
No one is disputing that. All that I'm saying is that let us be mindful of the fact that we are actually influencing the budget here. And you influence the budget to be directed on something that is not bigger. And the issue of the rolling stock that is being refurbished is being done. And the issue of buying new train is happening. Then where is the gap then?
The gap is that in between those things happening, the situation on the ground is getting worse. So the gap is that you bring in new trains, but the old ones are collapsing quicker than the new ones can take over, and there's a gap.
No.
And I mean, you don't have to agree with me, but I'm telling you that's what's going on the ground.
The railway is not collapsing in South Africa. It had collapsed in 1994. It has not collapsed now. In actual fact, issues that are related to railway transportation are currently being addressed. I would agree with the submission by the TA. If the target for refurbished trains was 573, and they then produce 420. I would agree with that, that we need to improve. But the indicators are that we exceeded the target.
Could I change the request then and say, could we? We noted that 300 trains were damaged, either in accidents or in fires or in something. Could we then take those out and put in there that some measures should be put in place to reduce the number of coaches that are damaged or burnt or broken in accidents or whatever. Because it will have the same effect. If I can stop the 300 damages, then I still get more rolling stock, if you understand. So maybe you take that out and then instead say something about the 300 that are damaged, then I'd be more happy because effectively, then we will increase the number of trains on the line.
We have addressed that when we're dealing with the rights and responsibilities of communities. And also, by refurbishing the railway lines and putting in new signaling system, which uses optic fiber as opposed to the copper wiring. That has been addressed.
So, we noted that in the notices, can we put a recommendation in the recommendations for efforts to reduce the numbers that are removed from service or some word like that, I don't know what language.
We also need to understand what was behind the burning of the trains. Because it was not also only the issue of trains running late. It was some of the union members who were actually doing that. And then there was a split union away from that house. And the person who was actually leading us is now the president of the new union. So, which is why the ANC submission was campaigns to teach communities about their rights, which come with responsibilities.
Can we put that under Section 8 as a recommendation?
Yes, the awareness campaign.
Yes.
That is an issue. We put it on the other side, but we can re-emphasize it. But we cannot put the blame on Prasa and also want to redirect money to the refurbishment of the train, something that has already happened. With that, I think it is a fact and something needs to be done. to stop the issue of burning and destroying the train, which doesn't come from Prasa, because Prasa would not destroy its own property. It comes from the community who do not understand, who have a little understanding of community ownership to public facilities. Rights to protest are not rights to destroy. So that is what is lacking, the responsibility of the community. And what we can then say to the transport family, not only Prasa, is to put an effort of raising the awareness of the community that a hard property is actually the property of the community.
Chairperson, there are actually about four ways that the trains are damaged. The one is accidents. There were three major accident crashes. The second one is from the heaters. If there are papers and things in the trains, the older trains heaters catch fire and burn trains down. Then there's trains that come late, and then the commuters burn the train because they're angry. And then fourth, there's unions unhappiness that causes trains to unions. So it's four different reasons. And they require different interventions. It's different. So I don't want to get into a fight about the cause. I want to say some effort should be put in to address the things that cause damage to trains. Then we don't tell them how to start X. We just tell them you must put a measure in, whatever the measure is.
I agree with that. Like, for instance, they have also put in police back into the train, something that was no longer happening. So I agree with that. Point B?
It's very similar to the previous section. It's just the consequential step that needs to happen to address the points I made under 2A. We're not going to get those issues right unless there is a proper program of essential skills being retained. So that's what that sentence is trying to convey.
This goes with that first sentence. If in our view we agree to that and we have not engaged on that, we can't then come up with a recommendation because it has to deal with something that we have processed. And we agreed on the previous one that we are noting it as something that has been brought to our attention, which needs a follow up. Maybe what we could put here under this section is that based on the complaints rate, we would want to follow this up together with the minister and the department.
Sure, I think that's fine. I mean, I don't think we need to waste time in debating the actual words. The fact that it needs to be in there, which in our have conceded, I think, are the most important thing. So I don't mind if you amend it in the way that you have just done. At least we've noted the problem and we've noted that it's something you should need to take up. That's fine. Thank you.
D?
Again, this talks to the previous issues raised in section 2, and I'm not sure whether it's quite the same as the one we've just done, because in this particular case we did have a presentation and the committee did engage. So I think that possibly doesn't need the same level of amendment. I can respond while my colleague is coming back, but he's stuck on the bell. Okay. I know this is the radio speaking about an even case that wasn't working and people were supposed to use the Toro, but he can talk to it in more detail.
Okay.
D. Okay, thank you. Thanks, Chairperson. The N3 to Durban between Johannesburg and Edekwini is tolled in many places. The alternative routes, we're getting a lot of complaints from the public that the road is collapsing, potholes, and those trucks, you know, the heavy trucks. What happens is the drivers pocket the toll fee money that the boss gives them, and then they don't drive on the toll road. They drive on the smaller alternative road, and those are very heavy trucks, and they create those trucks. I don't know if you know what I mean. So the alternative routes to the N3 are being damaged. The alternative route to the N2 at Blaugrans has been closed for 2 years because the Eastern Cape say they don't have the money. The Eastern Cape government says they don't have the money to maintain that road. The minister replied in writing to questions I asked about that as well. And the point is that we need to somehow deal with that problem, and the only way to deal with that problem is to request the provinces to pay more attention to the maintenance of the alternative route somehow. And I don't know where we do that, but we can't force that. We can just recommend or encourage or some word, I don't know what the right word is, for the provinces to pay attention to alternative routes, because slowly, slowly they get worse and worse and worse. And in the Blaugrans N2 case, already today there is no alternative. It's closed. It's been closed for 2 years. So you have to go on the toll road. There's no alternative anymore. Until the Eastern Cape government says they need 30 million extra to fix that road. But you know, Chairperson, there's a question also of priorities. Do you do this road or that road when you have got your 30 million? So I can't tell that province how to spend money, and we can't. But I think what we can do is recommend that the alternative routes are properly maintained by the provinces somehow. So I'm not sure if the wording is right again, but that's what I'm trying to achieve. What I'm trying to achieve is to encourage somehow the provinces to continue and to keep on focusing on maintaining the alternative routes to the toll roads. You can guide me if you think there's a better way of saying that, but that's what I'm trying to achieve, is to say the alternative routes must still be maintained. We can't allow them like the N2 blow across one to collapse.
I would think that that is in order, because it also relates to what the amendment that we made when we were dealing with the transport and related matters. Maybe we can even add this Salga here on this one, so that there is a way of ensuring that even at municipal level, they are able to maintain those alternative routes, so that the person can make a choice of whether to use. But also, there has to be a balance in terms of trucks that are opting for using the alternative routes, because alternative routes are low volume selling, not designed to actually carry heavy loads.
Yeah.
So we can't then be forcing government to carry heavy loads just because the truck drivers are pocketing money or trucking companies are not prepared to pay toll fees, because the toll routes have got a much durable construction as to oppose the alternative routes. Alternative routes are actually meant for people who are commuting within those towns, not the heavy trucks. I think that that is an important point, but it should also create a balance to that the committee recommends that the minister engages the provincial MECs via MINMEC as well as SALGA to refurbish and reopen alternative routes to the toll routes in South Africa. And also to put restrictions on big trucking yes, heavy trucking on the on alternative routes that are low volume drilling.
The fake driver's license and the vehicles with false registration roadworthy certificates, this has also been an ongoing thing, Chairperson. It's not a new thing. But I just want to raise it again. We have some of the road safety experts have been saying that there's maybe 30% of the licenses, either the driver licenses or the roadworthy certificates or the road car licenses, are somehow not approved correctly. They're either fake or they've not done a proper test. There was a story this morning in the newspaper, last night, was it in Engineering News or one of the papers yesterday when I was flying in, where they, MEC, Ismail Badi in Gauteng, went to personally inspect, and they arrested an official who was approving a driver's license for somebody who didn't pass a test properly. So, I mean, it is an ongoing issue. I just wanted to raise it again, that we encourage more effort to they're dangerous drivers, and they, if the license is not correct, if the vehicle is not roadworthy, if the what, then we see all those dangerous accidents where people die. So I'm just raising it again.
Yeah, but I would not want it to be said that those registered in Gauteng or with documents issued in Gauteng. Because this is something that is happening throughout the
country. Okay, I'm happy if you want to leave that, I'm happy you can take that out.
Chairperson, we will rectify it because we are having a worry that this thing is all over the country. Even when you remember a bus driver who failed a test and then again passed a test and get an accident, killed.
I'm happy to
visit. Do we only want the minister to do the investigation, or we want her to put a pinch of pressure?
Which item are you on? Well, I just said a more thorough investigation. I didn't even say the minister, but if you want to put the minister as well.
I'm saying that to me, it's not only the investigation, it's to put measures in place to prevent that from happening.
Yes,
because
I agree.
Because when you investigate, then you will get the results of how many are there. But if you are then putting the stringent measure to stop that from happening,
sure,
then you are actually dealing with the issue rather than effect finding. It's no longer effect finding. It is a known factor that this thing is happening throughout the country. And what we then want to see is for the minister to put a stringent measure.
I agree. Put more stringent measure in place to stop it. I agree.
Then
sorry, I'm doing more talking today than I normally do. The committee urges CrossNet to investigate the low rental income and occupation rates in properties administered by prosecution enterprise. I think that comes out of the fact and figures we discussed when they came to do their presentation. You remember of that question of the CEO, and he put the CEO up to answer the question. And they said, yes, it's partly the economy downturn and so on. But the problem is that there's some vacancies, there's some properties that are renting at much lower rates than they planned, and it means that CrossFS is not getting enough income and they're financially not viable. So we need to try to address that. And I think the solution is to find out why there are so many vacancies and why the rentals they're getting are not high enough. Maybe we have to change the budget to say we're not going to get those high numbers. Or maybe we have to refurbish some of those properties, paint them and put windows or whatever. Or maybe we have to drop the rental on the ones that are empty so that people will move in. I don't know. I don't know which measure it is because it's so many properties over the whole country. But there are too many vacancies and there's not enough money coming in. And we need to try and... You see, that kind of money can go into Shuttle of the Mail, perhaps, if we can get it. But anyway, it's a profitable business to rent properties. And it's they're not getting enough in. The budget was 500 and something million and they got in 200 and something million. So there's a... It's quite big, the difference between the budget and the actual. And I'm suggesting that they put some sort of measure in place to investigate why it's low to try and fix it. You can word it over as well, but that's the point that I'm making, is that we should investigate why they're low and try to fix it so that they get much more income.
I thought that when we went on all the sites of Prata, we were presented with a plan to actually, where they are refurbishing the property and redesigning them so as to make them more commercially viable. I don't know whether we are speaking to the same. Yeah. What we saw in Johannesburg and what was being opened 2 weeks ago at Bridge City is a new station that is able to attract investors. It becomes the mall on top. It is a residential area. So that you are then able to utilize the entire space. You are bringing in people that can occupy. So it's rental for residential, it's also rental for offices, and it's shops. I don't know whether we are speaking of the same thing, because what we were shown in Johannesburg was actually the thinking going forward to try and deal with the situation.
Yeah.
I don't know whether we are then saying, in addition to that.
Chairperson, two or three of the major train stations, they have refurbished or they're busy refurbishing, you're correct. And the one in Johannesburg is the case. I think the Cape Town one is also almost complete, they've refurbished it. And the Bid City one is a brand new station which is equally good. Those three, we know about them, I think they're one of the others where it's been done. But I think there's something like 2,000 properties in this portfolio. So three or four big ones have been nicely done, but there's more than 1,000 others. There's one, for example, in Newtown that I saw last week, opposite the DA office, for example, in Newtown. There's a plaza property with a big sign outside that is too let, but the too let sign's been there for 2 years, 3 years, and the property's run down. The doors are boarded up with planks, and it's unattractive. You or I wouldn't want to have an office there. It needs to first be painted and put a door on and so on, and then they may be able to get some rental. So I'm saying I agree with you that there are some flagship properties that are very, very well maintained and newly refurbished that are being done now or that were done in the last year. But it's a couple of big flagship properties. There are many thousands. I don't know what the actual number is, but I think it's more than 2,000 properties in the Public Crest portfolio, and many are empty. And I'm asking that the others, maybe we can change the wording, or there are others that need to be refurbished or investigated or something, because they are only getting in half the rental income that they budgeted for.
I'll paraphrase it differently to what is in here, because we need to appreciate that they have developed a model, and if that model can then be translated to even smaller stations, so as to create jobs around the area and also to make sure that they generate enough income. G?
Chairperson, there was a note in the annual report that I have got security, they've reintroduced police and so on. employed police only want to work in the SAPS hours, you remember? They only want to work from 8 until 6, and the trains run until 10 at night. So that's a problem. Also, in some of the stations, there's security inside the building, but the parking lot, there isn't security, and you can be mugged in the parking lot or in the bus depot or whatever. So it's a request for additional measures for security so that the trains become safer and safer. They have got railway police, but they're not enough. If you count the number of trains and the number of police, it's not yet enough. So the system has been started to go back to security. But we're still having lots of cable theft. We're still having people being mugged on trains and their purses and their cell phones stolen. So there is some security, but it's not enough. There needs to be more focus on security to make our trains really safe.
Something
that Jeff just forgotten to
implement a better communication system with
passengers. Oh, yes, I can. Sorry. Jeff, there is a communication system of sorts. They've got a speaker system on some platforms, but they're silent. In Gauteng particularly, I mean, I know I say Gauteng over and over again, but it's a province I live in, so I know more about it than the other provinces. Brampton Station, for example, there is a big electronic screen where you can tell people what is happening, and there's speakers where you can tell people on the platforms the train is late or the what, but they don't make those announcements. The facility is there, but there's no announcements being made. When you stay on the platform, it's quiet. So at some stations, they're still busy implementing a new system. It's physically there, but it's not being utilized. In some stations, there are speaker systems that are also there for a bit longer, but they're also not, the announcements are not happening. The system is there in many stations, but it's not being utilized. And then in some stations, there's no system. When you go to some of the smaller stations, there just isn't any electronic system or any speaker or whatever. I know the CEO did say that people can subscribe on their cell phone to a cell phone SMS notification, but I don't think that's enough. I think that on the platform, you need to announce the train is 10 minutes late because there was a car or something. Then the people on the platform are better informed, and they're less likely to be angry when the train is late, because at least they have information, they can make another plan to take taxi or something.
Thank you, Honorable Police. Yeah, I understand Honorable Police, but he himself is saying in some other stations there is equipment, they are busy with the equipment, it's not working now. There is a saying when here that Rome was not built in a day. We don't expect them to be there at the same time. You are saying it yourself that they have done this here and they're doing something there, which means they are trying, they are improving. And improvement we see. We have just told us ourselves. So I am saying really, they are trying, the improvements are on the way.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. When we were at Pretoria, not for oversight, there were some system they showed us in the security hall where they show us a loudspeaker or what that they were using. Maybe if there is an accident, somebody is hitting by train, or somebody is taking something for somebody, they announce on that mic so that people must see there is an accident that's happening. There are some of the stations who have seen it in a big security room on the own building.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable Police, welcome. Thank you. We're busy with the
recommendations and observations that are made by our colleagues from TA. Another one is my understanding is that the comments that are coming from colleagues are such that they are saying that which you're raising on G is already being implemented. Would you like to leave it as it is, or you would like us to change the wording? Unfortunately, I have not been part of the committee.
Sure, sure.
You know,
no, I'm just looking again at the way I've worded it to see if we can change it. You can, right, if you want to, you can remove the second half of the communication system, because members have said that there is a plan and that they've begun work. So maybe just leave it with the first half, just improve the safety and security, but leave the communication system, because members feel that there's already a partial solution. I've just seen it not working sometimes, but I'm prepared to accept that they are starting to implement a new system, so I would let that second half all away if you want to take it off.
You know, I'm also we're on section 8 and the last page of the two pages, and on G. Before the chairperson left here, I thought that what she was saying was that there is a you know, measures that are being implemented now on safety and security. However, Olis was saying that the deployment of the police or such members ends only at 6 o'clock. It doesn't go. I mean, they don't want to extend up to 10 o'clock, the last hour of the train moving. Now you see, if we say the committee is infrastructure to improve safety and security at railway stations, platforms, access roads of all commuter train stations, and leave it like that, it's almost like there isn't anything that is implemented totally. Couldn't we change it into a point where it only says to cover, to extend,
yeah,
you know, and so that it does not look like there isn't anything at all.
Okay, I'm happy with that. Extend is better.
Yeah, I think extend is better to the last hour of the train movement. I think that would be fine. Okay. Yeah, I think that we have come to the end of the comments of the or the submissions from our colleagues from the DA. I'm just going to want to check you from the secretary that I'm fine. So the question is okay. Oh, okay.
Because it comes from the shadow, I don't find, especially when it's just with the extent.
Yes. We're supposed to get the key findings from the ANC colleagues. May I then probably request that we adjourn for 2 minutes and wait for the chair and get guidance? Okay.
Just before you adjourn, the recommendation.
We'll agree just 2 minutes. But Honorable Bullock still wants to say something.
While we're just changing chairs, I don't have a problem with the recommendations from the AC caucus under 8.
Okay.
I'm just saying that the recommendations under 8 that we got from the AC caucus, I don't have a problem with it. We've added the ones that we made, and together with the ones from the AC caucus, I think that's a full reflection of the state of affairs. And so I don't see a member from COPE or one of the other parties here, but I'm prepared to go with the recommendations from the ANC because we've already included recommendations on the DA already. So what I'm saying is, between us, I will accept the ANC recommendations. We don't need to go line by line, is what I'm saying. I'm trying to save some time and say, I accept it. I think that they are all a reasonable reflection of what's going on, and I think that that's fine. So if we combine the two, then we're done. I'm on eight. On eight, I'm very happy. And I defer to the chairperson on seven because of the we didn't get an ANC list. So I think it's back to the chairperson.
Thank you.
Chairperson, good morning, Chair. My apologies. But also, we must say that from the last part which we came in, I like the improvement on the Chairperson, I was just saying we also agreed that in Section 8, as we are coming out, coming in at number G, there is improvement that the technology that they insert so that it could reflect that trust I have done something. And that improvement in terms of the term. There's a terminology, what is that term? Extend. They included the term extend so that extend the working hours of staff, so the security at the stations and platforms and everything else.
We
reflect the state of affairs, secretary.
Chairperson, we took out the end of that thing about the communication system. We removed it. And then we left the thing about security, but changed it to say we urge process to extend the safety and security, not improve what it used to say.
You will remember that when we submitted that our first draft, we had also said that we had not worked to the level of our satisfaction in terms of key findings. And we have built up our document, which is what we would want to add now. Under key findings. We looked at the overall and on the findings from the ANC, we said that we separated. There is a key findings improvement, and then despite the progress, the study group has noted the following challenges, which is what we will present now. On the side of the improvement, the department and its entities have executed their mandate successfully. That is one. The report of the Auditor General indicates that the percentage of the report are with no findings, which is an improvement from 59% the previous year to 74%. You remember that slide presentation that was shown where the Office of the Auditor General was pointing us from the orange, the yellow bar to the green bar. That's where we are getting that 69% and 74% from. And then there was also the fact that 21% of the audit report had material findings. We are putting that as a finding. It is also coming from that Auditor General's report. The quality of annual performance report shows a 79% improvement in the 2012-2013 financial year, improving from 64%
2011, 2012, 43%, 2010, 2011 financial year. These were material findings. There were material findings of 21%. Again, the first document is the Auditor General. The entities of the department performed well, with the exception of only three entities who did not meet the requirements. With regard to the usefulness of information, the Auditor General reported that the improvement of 14% and 7% in the reliability of the information, which means that there is still room for improvement. The quality of financial statements submitted shows a 57% improvement. Leadership was improved by 65%, with only 3% that needs intervention. Then we are then saying, despite the progress, the study group has noted the following challenges, which then, if accepted, it will become a committee's thing. The study group notes we concern the underperformance of the public transport branch. Integration of transport services needs to be fast-tracked. The only province that has attempted integration of transport services is Gauteng, but there are problems with its implementation. We are saying that as much as Gauteng has attempted to put the integrated transport system, the fact that the Gautrain came before the refurbishment of the metro rail, which is carrying people every day that are going to work, and also the implementation of the GFAB before the refurbishment of the rolling stock, gives a limited alternative to people who would want to leave their cars at home and use the train. That is the point that we are making, so that if a similar project is implemented in future, that has to be taken into consideration, that we start by improving the public transport system first before you go to the tolling, because then you have given people an alternative. But in the manner in which it was done, how they is actually saying they are implementing tolling first before the refurbishment of the public transport, which is to us as the AUC study group a concern, which is what also the DA is coming up with on that issue of alternative routes being taken care of. The implementation of e-tolling system moved faster than the improvement of the railway transportation. The new trains are only coming in 2015. That is, we are emphasizing on that point. The public transport system must be a lead branch when talking about the integrated transport services. No, it's not public transport system, it's public transport branch. Yeah, not system. Public transport branch, because without that branch playing a lead, then you do also other things being led by other branches instead of the public transport plan. The study group also noted with concern the underperformance of the policy formulation unit of the department. It's something that we've been discussing in the portfolio committee, that it takes the department too long to finalize policies. This needs to be addressed urgently, as it affects the overall performance of the department. Financial management regress from
I'm just giving allowance on the question of the spot transport, which has not been finalized since 7 years now. Thank you.
As well as the maritime policy has not been finalized. The issue of the ARTO and ARTILA, it's not finalized. That then is holding back people that are supposed to be implementing, because the department is policy formulation department. Financial management regressed from 75% to 65% because of the implementation of e-tolling. What has happened is that because e-tolling was put first, and then the financial management system had regressed, because failure by Prasa to pay back the money has actually affected the entire country, all other entities that are charging the responsibility of raising money for infrastructure development like that. Then we are also saying that the department needs to prioritize the employment of the DG, the RTMC, the RTMC, and some support, because those two entities also do not have both. So that is the action that we are making. And then under recommendation, we have also inserted
Chairperson, thank you, sorry, just before you go on, the recommendations that you gave us last week in writing, are you adding to those?
We did not have the finding, it was left open, and then we said we were still going to work on that, and that is what we are then moving forward. But then also under recommendations, we are adding the following. We are saying there has to be an introduction of one ticket system and allocate the subsidy to passengers for passengers to choose the best service provider. What you are saying is that on the issue of the subsidy, firstly, there has to be, the department should introduce a single ticketing system where a commuter in a taxi or a bus or a train can use one ticket, giving them the commuter an option of choosing where to go, as opposed to you use cash when you are in the taxi, you use the ticket when you are in a metro rail, and you again use a different ticket when you are in a bus. And also, there is no way that we are able to monitor the subsidy, because it's going to certain transport subsidy. It's going to buses and to some extent trains, but not on commuters. And we are saying by introducing a single ticketing system, it is the commuters that are going to be subsidized, because it will be discounted ticket.
Chairperson, thank you. This last edition is problematic. I don't know how to avoid a long discussion here. I don't want to start a long discussion because the time is of the essence, I know, and so on. But the first part of what you're saying is very workable, and the CEO of Montana said to us he can switch it on as soon as those last turnstiles are installed at the train stations. So having one ticketing system, he's prepared to implement it now, and if somebody can convince Gautrain to agree to connect the software, he's prepared to work with the Gautrain ticket as well. It's the same electronic system, the same turnstiles, it basically needs to be the same software to connect the software. It can be done very soon, and I would totally support that. So integrating the ticket and the mode of transport is correct, and all modes of transport should shift to that system. And you remember when Saboa did the presentation, that professor from UJ said yes to that. But you remember also in that committee when we raised the single that the subsidy must go to the commuter and not to the entities, they said no. We have been unable to find an expert in South Africa who agrees to that recommendation of the subsidy going to the passenger or the commuter. They tell us that nowhere in the world has it been implemented, and no one has ever tried implementing it. And there are significant structural problems with implementing paying the subsidy to the commuter, and for the commuter then to use different modes of transport with that same subsidy. And part of the problem is that it's unpredictable. So if you want to subsidize taxis and buses and trains, subsidies. But by giving the subsidy to the commuter, it crashes the system. And no one has a system that they can implement with software, with controls, with contracts for those buses and taxis and whatever else that will work. If you put it in the report, that second part, as you say, then somebody must respond and implement it. And there's nobody who's capable of implementing it right now in South Africa. So first off, I agree with, I support it. The one ticket system must be done now. It makes it easy. It's been done everywhere in the world. We should have it too, and we should have it now. But there's going to have to be a whole lot more research into the physical mechanism of transferring the subsidy to the commuter before we can push the department to implement it, because it might not be possible. And we've tried, as the DA, we've gone to see experts and asked them and tried to. And we can't find anybody who will support that idea because it's very complicated and difficult. It's more complicated than we realize. So if you put it in the report as something that they must do, we're going to get them all playing their hands up. The best I think we could do is suggest that it's investigated, not that it's implemented, because it's we discovered by talking to people it's much more complicated to do than what we thought it was. So I've not pushed it as hard as I initially thought because of the complications. So I would strongly urge a slight modification to that, to say we urge an investigation of paying the subsidy to the commuter, not that they must implement it, because they might come back to us and say, you've told us to do something that's not possible. I would just urge that amendment, because we don't want to have to retract it later, say, oh no, we were wrong, or whatever. That's just my suggestion.
Thank you, Chair. I don't disagree with my colleague. I agree. But to say it has never been done in the country, it cannot be done, I think everything has a first try. But there are no people to do it, really, I just don't believe it. I don't know, I have never investigated it. But I still feel if we want to do it, if we feel it is advantageous to the people, to the communities, it could be done. I feel we can't get the people to do it because it is an advantage to some other people. It is the people who are using these bus trains and whatever every day. It will be an advantage to them. It's worth trying when yes, that's what I want to say. Why do we just throw a towel because people say it cannot be done, we have not tried it.
I just wanted to acclimatize with the first part. A single ticketing, we agree. We converge on that one. On the single ticketing system. If we speak of a single ticketing system, what do we mean in terms? So that I can, because I want to link that with what has been raised and also what all is raising, because to both, it might seem as a good idea, but surely we must sink into our minds so that we understand a single ticketing system using the same tickets in different modes of transport. Is that what we mean by a single ticketing system in South Africa?
Chairperson, if you know what a Gautrain card is, the ticket card, and if you know what the MyCity bus ticket card is, that is the ticket we're talking about. And the way you design the system is that you can take your MyCity bus card from Cape Town and you can use it to get on the train in Gauteng without buying another ticket, or vice versa. You can use the Gautrain card ticket card to get access to Metrorail, or to get access to the BRT in Johannesburg, or to get access to MyCity bus. So we're heading for a future where if we agree to a single ticketing system and it's implemented in South Africa, you can buy one electronic ticket card and use it for trains, buses, and whatever else. You don't need to go stand in a queue and buy another ticket. You have one ticket. And whatever money is loaded on that ticket, like a credit card, you can spend it anywhere you want to, on any mode of transport. That's what they mean by a single ticket. You get your one ticket, and for the whole year, you ride on buses and trains, and you can even link the Robben Island Ferry and any other modes. So to avoid standing in queues and buying a 3 rand ticket here and a 5 rand ticket there and a paper ticket, and it gets rid of all the paper, it gets rid of all the queues. You only queue once and load some money on, and then you can use it on any mode of transport. That's what we mean, the Honourable Speaker, by single ticket. It means your Gautrain ticket or your Maastricht bus ticket or your Metro Rail ticket is a plastic card, like a credit card, and you use it for every mode of transport. You don't need to again buy another ticket. Just swap. You get on the bus, you swap. You get in the taxi, you swap. You get on the Metro Rail, you swap. You get on the whatever, and you swap. And that's like a credit card. It just takes off the number of rands for that ticket. That's a single ticket. And that is something which can be done. It can be done much quicker than everybody realizes. Lucky Montana knows that if you switch on those turntiles in those stations, he's already put in there. He can accommodate the Gautrain ticket on those Metro Rail trains now. He can do it now. It's just a couple more changes and he can do it right now. And the same thing, the MyCity bus in Cape Town is already set up. You can do it now. So it's something which in the next financial year this department can implement. With just getting, the only thing is the Gautrain hasn't got on board. Their software is not talking to Metro Rail software and the BRT software. That's the only problem. But it's a small matter. They can fix it within a month. So that's the single ticketing system that can be done. The controversial part is whether you can take the subsidy and pay it to that ticket instead of paying it to Metrorail. That's the controversial part. Nobody knows whether that can work. And Honorable Ndele, I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. I'm just saying it has never been done. It's true. It has never been done anywhere in the world. But what we can do is to urge the department to investigate doing that second part. It may be able to be done, but the trouble is Metrorail will lose their whole subsidy on the first day, and then they don't know if they're going to get it back, because they will only get it back if people use Metrorail. So if everybody tomorrow leaves Metrorail, goes use a taxi, because quicker, Metrorail will shut down. Those are the problems. It's a bit complicated in that it's removed the predictability, and you want people to invest in buses or taxis, but they don't know whether the passengers are going to come tomorrow, because they might go to a different mode of transport, and so the taxi operators might not like it, the bus operators might not like it, Metrorail might not like it because they could lose customers. So you've got to phase it in carefully. That's the worry. It's not that we're saying it shouldn't be done. We're just saying because it hasn't been done, it requires a detailed analysis and study to see how you can prevent one mode of transport collapsing. Because people may shift radically to different modes, and BRT may be overstocked and people standing in queues, and Metrorail may be empty, or vice versa, you know. Anyway.
Yeah, there is a time where I lived in Connacht. And I was using both the train and the buses. It was. And when I was growing up, I grew up in Harding. And that area was serviced by the railway buses. And then I moved to Kamalake Township. And we were serviced by UKZN. Yes, UK transport, KwaZulu-Natal transport. There was a ticket for workers because it was a subsidized ticket. When you buy a weekly ticket, you would get a discount. And when you buy a monthly ticket, you got more discount. And when you were a pensioner, you got more discount. But that did not mean that a KwaZulu transport was not charging a full ticket. KwaZulu Transport was charging a full ticket. It's the government that was subsidizing the discounts that were received by workers and the discounts that were received by school children and pensioners.
the point I'm making is that it does happen. Even when I was in Canada, I was a student and my ticket was cheaper than the ticket used by the person I was placed with. So it can be done in the same way that you get a discount when you are swiping in a shop. The difference is that we may find resistance from the service providers who would feel that people will have a choice. And as a result, some service providers will cease to exist. And that is the issue from the ANC perspective, that you are actually wanting service providers to provide a good service to the passengers, because passengers are getting a raw deal. They have no choice, because if they have a train ticket, they are locked to a train even if it doesn't arrive, resulting with them getting angry and burning the train. But also they can hear that they are in a bus. When the bus driver brakes, the brakes are making a lot of noise, the driver is drunk, they would want to get out of the bus. But because that was the last money that the person had, that person can't get out of the bus and use an alternative transport. So government has a responsibility to passengers. And service providers should survive in business because of the quality of services that they are offering, value for the money that they are getting. So they will have to come on board to compete in providing good services so that the passenger, who is the commuter, is actually given a service that person deserves, than what is currently happening today, where a particle bus will go and plunge and kill many people. This other bus, Road League, does the same. The taxis, they push people like sardines in the taxi. A car that is certified to carry 16 people takes 32. I am saying that passenger, if she had a ticket or he had a ticket, would have alighted from that taxi, because there's no one who's not afraid of death. But because it was money I have already paid, I cannot move out and utilize another transport. I'm forced to use a service that is not good to me. So if the sentiments are that we still need to investigate this, we can say so. But the fact of the matter is, we have a responsibility to the passenger, not the service provider. And the service provider is taking advantage of the fact that he pays the passenger. And for a very long time, a passenger has been robbed by the service provider. So the issue of a single ticket system, we are clear on it. And also the issue of a subsidy that goes to the passenger needs to be further investigated. But we are of the view that it is a better thing to do than to subsidize the service provider, because even under the current situation, it's only certain bus companies that are being subsidized, not everybody.
No, we agree. We agree on that.
As you agree, sorry, because I've listened to your inputs both of the Mazur computing, and I would say the leaders of the various political parties must be innovative and be great thinkers in bringing new ideas in the 21st century. This one will not be an exception to think of new ideas. So that's like the question of the non-racialism. Non-racialism was a dream, but today everybody embraces it because of great minds and great thinkers. So I think this matter, to my little understanding or perception. I would have thought that government will phase this in a phased-in approach or through a pilot project, just like the chief in Gautrain. It was not going to be flooded throughout South Africa. But surely it would have been picked up in particular populated area, condensedly populated area, and to run it either for a year or a financial year. Then within that, surely there would be people who would make some assessment whether it is successful or not. But that was my understanding of a phased approach or a pilot project. But because also in the input of the Honourable Member Ollis towards his penultimate sentence, he was saying if it is done, it should be amended carefully. It cannot be just boom to everybody. And I think at that point, I said we almost reached a sufficient consensus. But now the chairperson also further an idea of saying, because the first part we do agree, a single ticketing system. But this one needs further indication. I think it's more binding. It's more in terms of the contest and negotiations, insufficient consensus, so that we take the process forward in terms of the recommendations. I think chairperson, I will support that approach. Thank you. But surely we need to think also broader, bigger than what we have. Because I was going to ask you if you did not raise the question of Canada. I've been to Canada also for other issues, and we observed certain matters that was around in the 90s. And I was asking to myself, what other countries' systems are they using in terms of what we're debating today? Is it all here? Or maybe we need to, but now I'm covered when you say further innovations. But surely the world is too big, and surely we need to make a serious research, but also not undermine our own intellectual capacity as South Africans to do these things at a particular time. Thank you.
Okay. We are going to call up
the
happy with all the work that we have done this morning, I would then recommend that we adopt the report with the amendments, because we have discussed the amendments and agreed on them. Can I share the view?
Chairperson, I'm happy to adopt the report as amended with the inclusion of the additional items from the ANC, the additional items on from the DA that we've worded correctly. And then would I just ask that the committee secretary just sends us the one document, because I've now got four pieces of paper, and I'm 100% sure that we've agreed. I'm just haven't got the text, so if I could just get a copy soon of the text, but I'm happy to adopt that as amended. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not easily moved. But today, because this is a very important report, I do second the document with the amended version. Thank you.
Then, do we correct? Yes. Okay. The Portfolio Committee on Transport has adopted its budgetary review and recommendation report, and it has been adopted with the amendment. Before we close, I would want to thank both the ANC and the DA working hard to produce this report, and also for the spirit in which we discussed these issues. I really appreciate the manner in which we have worked. It was we didn't have enough time, but we applied our mind, and we came up with this report. And also, all the members were very serious in terms of reading what is in the report and pick up issues. Thank you very much. The meeting is closed.
Sorry, Chair. A small question of ignorance. Once we adopt report, are we debating it in the House, or should it be just for the adoption in the House?
It depends on what.